Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Every big moment starts with a big dream. But what happens when that big dream turns out to be a big flop? From Wondery and At Will Media, I'm Misha Brown, and this is The Big Flop. Every week, comedians join me to chronicle the biggest flubs, fails, and blunders of all time, like Quibi.
It's kind of like when you give yourself your own nickname and you try to, like, get other people to do it.
And the 2019 movie adaptation of Cats.
Like, if I'm watching the dancing and I'm noticing the feet aren't touching the ground, there's something wrong with the movie.
Find out what happens when massive hype turns into major fiasco. Enjoy The Big Flop on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Big Flop early and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Get started with your free trial at wondery.com/plus.
Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens. This is part two of a two-part recap. If you're like, hey, wait a minute, I didn't hear part one. Guys, it's because we put out a lot of recaps. Go back and listen to part one, okay? It's before this one. Bye. Enjoy the show. So then the food starts coming out, okay? And so they're getting the food. We do see the goat cheese tart. Looks beautiful. We see the asparagus with the road truffle hollandaise. Could have been with something else, as you said. Yeah. The leek puree scallop.
Oh, lovely. Yes.
Then we get the smoker cloche. Always love a smoker cloche. Gotta smoke something. And it's smoked beetroot tartare with spicy avocado. What else? Saffron risotto with lobster.
Yeah. And then it ended with the beef Wellington, right?
Looked like a very beautifully done beef Wellington. Yeah. Are they supposed to be all the way cooked through? I'm not sure. I don't really eat beef, but it looked.
Because earlier in the season, remember when she did the Wagyu, and she was upset that the ladies wanted a little cooked, and she's like, "This is how you serve the meat," you know. Yeah. And Jason was like, "Looks good to me."
Yeah, and then baked Alaska for dessert. So they're like, "Oh my God, Serena, you're amazing. That was great." And Laura's behind the bar, just giving her a dirty look, like, "Bitch." And she's like, thank you. And I also have to thank the lovely, gorgeous, talented Alicia. And Laura's just like, how dare she not thank me? She was like Hillary Swank's husband standing behind the bar, like, how dare you?
Did you just drop a Chad Lowe reference?
Yeah, she was Chad Lowe in it behind the bar. Like, I can't believe I wasn't thanked.
Amazing.
She got all pissed. And so Laura has decided now, she's telling Bree, she's like, you know, I still need to have a discussion with Serena. You know, Jason said to be a bigger person, so I've been faking it. But I cannot be friends with someone who lies about me. Oh,
she was like, it attacked my work ethic and character.
We just saw you try not to serve a 7-course meal to people who had it on their preference sheet, ma'am. Let's not talk about your work ethic.
But then she weirdly pivots and starts doing like that prawn puppeteer show. She's like, are you going to be with Harry? Like with the prawn puppets?
Yeah.
She tries being cutesy
to show that she's a nice person. Like she gets the young girls and then she's always like, oh my God, tell me about boys. That's all she ever asks them because she knows that that's how to get them on her side. She's like, ooh, tell me about the boys. Have you found him asleep yet? Have you taken any stem cells? Shall I show you how to do it?
Do you want to try to kiss with me? Harry, no, I thought it was interesting because Serena at the end says, I guess I don't want to be part of the cool clique. And I thought that was interesting that anybody thought that Laura was like part of the cool clique or was the cool clique. Because watching it, I never thought like, oh, she's like the cool one. I mean, like, you're totally right. She does make friends with the younger set, but I never pegged her as like the cool one, you know?
Well, I think what she does, like from what I can tell from this, what she does is she goes to people and she tries to appeal to them by being like, oh, look at us, just the girls, just us talking about boys. Isn't this fun? And so she gets them all the time. So Serena, not being included in anything, just thinks that must be what cool people do. Like they just sit around, they talk about boys. And then when Serena does it, they're like, ew, disgusting. A boy would want Serena.
Serena has big Ali Sheedy in the Breakfast Club vibes. Where you're just like, where is your Emilio Estevez? Where is that guy that like they're going to force you to put on weird makeup and change what actually is cool about you? To me, I feel like she's like smoking cloves, drinking. I'm trying to think of like what is actually the cool drink now? I almost said Jägermeister, like a disgusting
Zima.
Thing.
What else?
Fernet Branca. That's a shot of Fernet. Come on.
So she's decided she's going to come for Serena, and Bree's like, oh, you should. You totally should. So then we go to Nate and Alicia, and she's like, oh, my God, can someone just please bring the dishes in? Because she's still being forced to clean this damn, what do you call it, mess hall. And so Nate does it, and she's like, oh, God, we're still bonded. I've fallen in love with the art of cooking more, so no more smoochies with this loser, but I'll still let him clean my dishes.
I like the fact that she had to keep explaining to the audience that she likes him. It's just that she loves sous chefing way more.
So funny. So then Adair, who became my favorite character this season, like out of nowhere, comes out and she's like,
I'm in a hospital robe and it's backwards because I can't find the belt.
And then she turns her bare butt to the camera and just farts. Like, yes, Adair. That's my girl.
Nobody is ever that comfortable on their first season. Like when you're ripping farts on camera, you're like, yeah, you might get a second season. That's really solid work.
Some bare butt farts. Or when that guy was trying to date her and she's like,
yeah, me, a guy has a goddamn monster truck. We'll sit in the bar and watch a game or something. I mean, what is it? He wants to talk. Loser.
That reminds me of Brittany on the Valley it was on the Valley After Show where they were talking about Nia doing pageants. And Lala was like, well, you do pageants too. And she's like, no, I only did them at county fairs. Mike, I want more Bravo shows that like literally have people ripping farts. Like, imagine if, do you think Janet could win the audience over if she just started ripping farts one episode?
She'll and
just
do it was, if like, she can. She's still trying with her whole, oh my God, I love Dave and Buster. She would totally do it if she could.
Big,
she'll still try that next season.
Don't
get me started on Janet. Oh my God. Okay, so then in the morning, now they're talking about, you know, oh, are you going to still be a chef? Yeah, I'm going to go to school to be a chef. And then Lara's doing her prawn play, and Bree's like, oh my God, do I have a future with Harry? We're executive exclusive now.
That line, I was told that is actually like a thing with the kids now. That term. The exclusive term that they use, like that's an actual thing that kids are using now. In fact, it's a little like Jesse and Lexi from Summer House of like, we're not officially boyfriend and girlfriend, but we're executive exclusive or whatever that wording was. I guess kids are actually using that now.
Yeah. I mean, we won't fuck other people, but we'll be committed to each other, but only sexually or something. I don't know.
Like, do you update your LinkedIn with that? That's crazy. Like executive exclusive. And I didn't think she was going to, I thought she was going to get too scared because she just like, you know, wasn't engaged a year ago. And then by the end of this episode, she's like fully like, Harry's my boyfriend.
Yeah, because he cried. You know, she loves a sobbing and apology. So,
dude, and you know, he's also the guy that like he makes love. He doesn't have sex. He makes love to you, and he also he cries after sex too.
I feel like he whispers things in your face.
It's you and me forever.
It's what I've always wanted. I see my what I've dreamed about at night.
I see my forever in your eyes, and she's always like, "Why are you shaking? Because I'm in love."
Yes. And then like he'll drop in a, you remind me of my mom. She'll be like, whoa, okay. Let's roll back from that a little.
In a sexy way. Yeah.
So it's the end of the season now. They've done it. I just sprayed perfume in my mouth. I'm so wacky. Like wacky Brie. And then Serena can tell something's off with Lara. And Lara's decided to make it her season finale confrontation scene. So she's not ready just yet. So Serena's like, are you okay? And she's like, I'm just exhausted. I'll wait until I have a full camera crew to really tell you off that you have it. Like, all right. So everybody says bye. They got a good tip. It was the best tip of the season.
$2,000 almost, yeah. Right?
Yeah, $25,500. And the Serena finally gets the helmet, so she's excited.
Didn't she look like Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber when she put that helmet on? You know what I'm talking about when Lloyd has the helmet? Like on the, yeah. I was like, when she put that on, I was like, there's something very Jim Carrey-esque about Serena in that shot.
So then we go to, I'm just like, a lot of this is the finale stuff. Like Harry yeah. and Bree talk about their relationship. Do not care. And he starts going, oh, but you know, goodbye, exclusive executive partner, girlfriend. I mean, I didn't say it tonight. I can't even say it. Oh my God. Well, Harry, call me his girlfriend.
It's so ridiculous.
I honestly want to push these people down.
Like, they're close to like 30, right? They're not like 18 or
they're
19.
They're acting like infants, these two. It's like, oh my God, he kissed me. Should we talk about it?
It truly reminded me of like the first time I thought I felt in love, like sophomore year of high school. Like, that's the vibe. It's that like you hang up first or like, let me stay on the phone with you all night long and just listen to you. Like, I just want to listen to you sleep. Like, it's very creepy now as an older man to say that. But like, when you're young, you're just like so obsessed and like you're hanging on every word. You think you're going to blow it at any moment. Like, you're always thinking you're going to do something wrong. It's going to end it. So you need to assure them how much you've never felt, because your heart has never felt anything like that before. Like that first time you feel in love. That's how they're acting right here. Like, Harry has never felt anything like this in his life, so it is life or death for him,
or at least had someone feel it back. And she's a model, which he puts great stock in, you know. He's like, oh, I've got a model now.
Yeah, he said he never could get a girl like him.
Yeah, like her. And I forget sometimes that I'm talking about people who are like less than half my age too. I have to remember, you know, because I am just an old bitter man who's felt all these things before. And by the way, I was feeling them much later than them. I date so rarely now that if anybody says hello to me that's hot, I'm like, oh my God, I'm like looking him up on Instagram. I'm like, do we like any of the same things? Why is he private? Oh my God.
Oh my God. That's the Ronnie. That's adorable. Like, if you in bed, like going like, do we have mutuals? And just like, take,
I get like you, that.
Do you like scroll through and then like just see their life and how, like picturing how you could fit into it?
Well, yeah, you know, you can tell everything from someone's social profiles, you know, and like, will they hate me? You know, because you can tell like their interests and my interests or whatever and see if they align, or like, do we have mutuals, you know, like politically, what have they said?
Yeah.
You know,
like if they're like on like a big Rogan person or something like that, like, is there a Hinge person of like, this could go either way? Like, you know, usually with celebrities and other pop culture figures, you're like, okay, I can get along with you if you like this person. Is there one like right down the middle that like, well, that could either be, I really like you, or I really don't. Like, is there one celebrity like that?
Oh, a celebrity?
Well, like if they like that celebrity, that it could go, you know, like,
if they like that celebrity, great
for you or horrible for you.
I like people who look like they don't know what they're doing on social media and they don't use it. Like, I'm really into people when you look them up on social. I met somebody the other day.
You got to meet my dad, man. like, you would love him. I mean, everything that you're saying is, it sounds like Bill Bailey. This is amazing.
Does he know how to use a jitterbug? That's all I care about.
He does.
Some big numbers on a phone.
He set up my grandma, so I know he knows how to use it. Yeah.
Yeah, I like when you look somebody up on the internet and they just have that blank picture that's like a gray head. You know what I mean?
The gray heads or the Twitter eggs. Like, those are... That's when's there going to be a serial killer doc about that? Like, they all, and by the way, every one of the serial killers from here on out, you will know, like, well, we should have known they had a gray head profile.
I like that, but they're only on there because they signed up in the beginning and then never went on again. That's what I think is hot, because anybody with too much on there, I'm like, gross, you know?
Oh yeah. I mean, like, when I think about what I do online, I give myself the ick. Like, it's completely, I'm making Bravo memes in my 40s. Like, that never.
You make very good ones though. Yeah, you do make very funny ones.
When I was studying at Arizona State University, I did not think I would be doing this.
Well, we're definitely in the same boat as far as you date, and you can judge people's social all you want, but they also get to look at yours, and they come to ours, and it's like, I cover Bravo every day, and like, fuck this, you know, who wants to date that?
We really carved out quite a life for ourselves. Like, it's really, truly magnificent.
We've really painted ourselves into a corner here. You got lucky, though. You have a very cute girlfriend.
She's beautiful. But every podcaster owes something to you guys. But then as you get further into it, you're like, what have I done? What have I done? Like, they really tricked all of us. They tricked all of us. Like, this is insane.
That's funny.
And by the way, people listening, don't get upset. Ronnie knows that was a joke purely.
Of course. And nobody, I mean, my God. So then we talk about the relationship, which is gross. Okay. So then Harry and Serena, this is cute because I think that Harry and Serena aren't friends anymore. I think because of this whole Lara thing.
Yeah.
That's what it seems like. What do you know about that? Because I forgot to ask Serena about it when I had the chance.
That's what I was going to ask if you asked her that, because I think like Harry said that Serena unfollowed and potentially blocked him after the season.
Yeah, she said something like that, but she didn't say why. And we started talking about, I don't know, mental health or some shit. You know, that's where I got to learn to stop myself and just say, okay, mental health cut short. Let's put mental health on pause while I get some tea, and then we'll go back to the because I forget, my attention goes elsewhere.
But I'm so bad at the interviews in that sense, because I'm always wanting to be nice enough where they enjoy themselves, where I'm like, I'm not looking for like the headline. I don't want to be on realityt.com. I don't want to be like, you know, it's like, oh, I got the thing that'll actually get me attention. Like, no, I just want to have a conversation and wherever it goes. And people are like, you forgot the important thing that people are actually talking about.
I think it was something to do with the Lara stuff, that they feel like Lara's being, you know, attacked or bullied, or, you know, they have these two, like on the comments on the post, we posted a clip, and of course we posted the shadiest clip there was to post, but we posted a clip, and so the fighting on the clip is crazy, you know, it's like, you're bullying her, you're bullying Serena. And then Laura came on and she's like, no one understands how I've been treated this whole season, and everything bad about Serena was cut, but I'm not going to be quiet anymore. And it's like, okay, well then say what happened, you know. But she doesn't, she just alludes.
You had Laura on too?
No, she's just in the comments.
Oh,
like she turned the comments off on her Instagram, but it's coming on our post to be like, this is all a lie. It's all bullying. If you want the truth, you'll get it. I'm like, well, when's the truth? Like, tell me the truth. So
you have to wait for next season for the truth. Like there's no Below Deck reunion. So come on.
Yeah. So it seems like Lara's side is calling Serena the biggest bully in the world, and Serena's side is calling Lara the biggest bully in the world. And so it's all bullying accusations. And I guess Harry feels that Serena is the bully, I'm guessing, from what I'm reading just from the comments. But Serena never said about Zarina. By the way, like people say, why are you calling her Serena? Because I'm gay and I have a lisp. That's why. Okay.
I love, but it's like you watch the show and it's like so low level stakes, even though this seems so intense for them. Like they feel like they're in Scandoval right now. And we're like, well, the new season of Below Deck airs next week. Like we're already over. Like we're off of it. Like we're talking more about plates than we are any kind of actual storyline that they have centered themselves around. It's really weird. Like, but it's nice to see that they really do, like, they care. They're emotions are in it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. And I also like that we tied the season up with another disagreement about plates. This time there wasn't enough plates, but it all came back to plates at the end, which I'll give them credit for. So everybody goes dancing, they go to dinner, then they go dancing, and then it starts raining and people are shit-faced and they start sexy dancing. So Serena's like that girl who's in the sand on her knees, swinging around her hair while Lara looks on disgustedly. And then Alicia is also shit faced, so she starts sexy dancing, and she starts doing that like white girl twerk thing where she just starts rubbing her butt up and down. So she's getting it on Harry, and then Harry walks away, not thinking anything of it, and she's still just kind of like doing it. It was like kind of a twitch.
The sad white girl twitch. Yes. Passerbys so wonder if she's okay. Like, oh my God.
Just wasted
she's
alone.
Seizing. Yeah.
Yeah. Like phantom twerk. I don't know what was happening.
She was really getting into that. I was like, I thought she was doing the lambada or something. It was really, in her head, like that's it. I think in all of their heads, they are making like insanely intense television. And all we see is just like a little twerk, like a little boring twerk.
Yeah. You know? So Harry goes back over to Laura. And of course, Laura is like, oh, my God, look at what Alicia is doing to him. And she's like, oh, my God, is she twerking on Harry? So Harry comes over to say hi. And Laura's like, you must speak with Alicia right now. Right now. And so they do. And he's like, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean it like that. I'm drunk. I didn't. But still, if I was a girl and there was a guy doing it, it wouldn't be the same, Harry. And so they had their first tiff.
but Harry hung in there with the apologizing. Like because a lot of men I hear from, like women, they will not apologize. They will not admit fault. This guy, he was like taking credit for anything wrong. He was like, I did the plates. I did this. It's all me. It's all me. I did it all. And she accepted the apology and he kept apologizing. He was like, it's not right. I'm filthy. I'm disgusting.
He made it so that you don't even want to call him out because you don't want to have to sit there and listen to him apologize for 2 hours. You know, it's like, oh, my God, can we move on now? It's like,
no,
really, really, I'm sorry.
And I think you're right. She saw it immediately and she was like, no, I'm good. It's all good. I get it. And then they get in the car and he's still apologizing. He's like, I feel horrible, horrible. I can't believe it. I'm going to cut my thingy off. It's just no good.
Yeah. By the time they get to the van, he's like,
I thought it was going to be an up all night conversation where we were going to see like him apologizing at 3 and 4 in the morning of like, I'll do anything for you.
You're a model. I can't believe I'm treated a model like that. Meanwhile, Serena and Alicia are just making out like full on, like for 5 minutes. It just kept going and going. And everybody
and nobody like, really oh questions God. That. Everybody's like, oh, my God. But like, no, there's no scene about that. It's just like, yeah, cool.
Yeah. So we get some Harry sobbing in the car, etc. And can we just finish this already? Okay. So Marina loves Nick. Nick loves Marina, but they're both single. So they're going to stay, you know, they're going to see where it goes.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Every successful business starts with an idea. And on The Best Idea Yet, we're obsessed with those light bulb moments.
Like how a bored barista invented the Frappuccino during his downtime, and then it got acquired by Starbucks.
Or how Patagonia's iconic fleece was inspired by a toilet seat cover.
On The Best Idea Yet, we dive into the untold origin stories behind the products you're obsessed with and the bold risk takers who made them go viral.
These are the wild ideas and insights that made Birkenstock the best-selling sandals since Jesus.
And made Super Mario the most played video game in the history of attention spans.
Yeah, Nintendo almost became a ramen company until Super Mario saved it.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Follow The Best Idea Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. And if this podcast lasts longer than 45 minutes, call your doctor.
At 24, I lost my narrative, or rather it was stolen from me. And the Monica Lewinsky that my friends and family knew was usurped by false narratives, callous jokes, and politics. I would define reclaiming as to take back what was yours. Something you possess is lost or stolen, and ultimately you triumph in finding it again. So I think listeners can expect me to be chatting with folks, both recognizable and unrecognizable names, about the way that people have navigated roads to triumph. My hope is that people will finish an episode of Reclaiming and feel like they filled their tank up. They connected with the people that I'm talking to and leave with maybe some nuggets that help them feel a little more hopeful. Follow Reclaiming with Monica Lewinsky on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Reclaiming early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Every big moment starts with a big dream. But what happens when that big dream turns out to be a big flop? From Wondery and At-Will Media, I'm Misha Brown, and this is The Big Flop. Every week, comedians join me to chronicle the biggest flubs, fails, and blunders of all time, like Quibi.
It's kind of like when you give yourself your own nickname and you try to like get other people to do it.
And the 2019 movie adaptation of Cats.
Like, if I'm watching the dancing and I'm noticing the feet aren't touching the ground, there's something wrong with the movie.
Find out what happens when massive hype turns into major fiasco.
Enjoy The Big Flop on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Big Flop early and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Get started with your free trial at wondery.com/plus.
And now it's time for the Serena and Laura ending.
So they're in the cabin. Serena thinks everything's fine. So Laura's like, all right, let's talk, you know. So about this tension between us. And Serena's like, all right, go ahead. She's like, last night I was confused because, oh, we didn't mention at the dinner. Serena said, I'd like to make a cheers to Laura, who's been a great chief stew. She had a lot to deal with. She did a great job at it. She handled herself really well this season. So cheers to her. And Laura got pissed off that she made this speech and said it's not real. What do you think of that?
You think it was real? I mean, it was real enough, but like, I mean, leave it alone. At this point, it's such an obsession in her mind to find, like, anything that Serena does at this point is going to irk her, and she's going to find ways that it is, you know, like that it is a big, vast conspiracy that against her. So, I mean, it was real enough. I didn't think it was like a complete joke.
You know, I mean, if someone's making an effort to be nice, what's the problem? I mean, if she had said something like, oh, and to Laura, who's just worked so hard this entire season or something like that, but she didn't. And she was doing it in front of the captain. I mean, I thought it was nice, but.
But also the beef was squashed the way you want to bring back up the beef. And I just thought, like, did somebody encourage her to do this? Because I felt like it was so short-sighted and dumb because at this point, like, don't you feel like this is a little unhinged at this point. Like we've figured it out. It's done. Why are you wanting to, like, it almost felt like, are you wanting camera time? Like what did this feel like a natural end to the storyline that you didn't feel like you got the day before?
Yeah. It's like, girl, we know you didn't order enough plates to bring back more beef. So just end it now. So she confronts her in the cabin and she's like, well, this tension between us, you know, last night I was confused because you made a speech to me about how I'm great and all that. And I handled it so well. And Serena's like, yeah, because you did. And she's like, no, but that's the opposite of what you were saying to me. You made me feel like I wasn't doing a good job and you put me in a very dark headspace. No one said you didn't do a good. She's never said that you didn't do a good job. She lied about you being late that one time. Yeah. She did not treat you this whole season like you did a bad job. I can't sign on for that. I quit. I quit this show.
Yeah. We'll sign on to that. You've upset Ron. Look what you did, Laura. You've upset Ronnie now. Like that's not. No, I mean I think nobody can, like, the insecurity just is like, it reeks of insecurity in such a weird way that I just don't know what the benefit of that conversation was. And it was confusing. I think it confused Serena. I think it confused the audience. And I don't think that anything was gotten from it except that Serena eventually says, well, I guess I don't want to really be friends with you then, if that's how it's going
to
be.
I think she was trying a couple things. I think she was trying to get a scene out of Serena to make Serena look crazy. Because Serena didn't react how she thought she was going to. Serena didn't fight. She didn't cry. She didn't do anything she thought she was going to do. She said, okay, well, I've tried apologizing. And if you don't want to be my friend, I understand. And she's like, okay. So it was anticlimactic. And I think the second part is she's getting it on record on TV that Serena's put her into this very, very dark place with mental health and this and that. So she can villainize Serena. It's not cool. And I see her doing it in the public sphere too. So it's kind of nice to see this all backfiring on her. Cause I thought, what could have happened in the season finale that set her off? And it's all in her head. It's all stuff that she did. So.
I mean, I don't really pay attention to below deck, like kind of what's going on, like behind the scenes. Like, is she sitting there defending herself over tonight's episode?
I haven't looked tonight because it literally just ended before we started talking. So I don't know about tonight, but she's been doing it for the whole season. Like, no one understands what Serena put me through in the dark place that she took me to. I've never been in such a dark, dark, dark place. So she's saying that all this stuff has been cut to make Serena look good. And I'm like, they didn't make Serena look good. They made Serena look nuts too.
She would sneak into my bunk and put my hand in water so I would pee the bed.
Yeah. So I don't really know, but she dumps Serena basically and says, I can't be your friend anymore, you know? And so Serena's like, okay, well, I've tried. And she's like, well, I've tried for approval all season, but fuck it. You know, I can avoid the cool girl click.
The talking lobster click.
I love, though, nobody was raising their voices. Like, we didn't have a voice raised. It was very Downton Abbey, almost.
Yeah, I think she wanted it, but it didn't get there. So she didn't get it. So everybody goes and says bye to each other. Laura says bye to the captain, and he's very, like, good job this season. You know, very prim and proper, and then gives Serena a nice big hug and sends her off. And that's pretty much it. She's like, I pulled out the short straw. I had Weevils, a sous chef who wanted my job, a new sous chef with, you know, no experience. And on top of that, just cut to Laura's face, please. It's just that bird, like. But she's going to keep on cooking and let her freak flag fly. And that's pretty much it. That was it.
That was what a journey I've been through this last week, watching this entire season. It is.
The hardest working man in podcasting. And you know what? If I ever ask you to do something and you don't watch it, just say no. Do you have any other openings? I would have put you on something else.
No, Ronnie, it is a privilege to be here in any capacity. You know that. I love talking to you regardless of the podcast or not. But like, yeah. And also, I love watching Bravo. So it was an excuse to actually watch a show that I usually, like, I watched all of Below Deck Sailing Yacht, and then sometimes I just didn't pick it up. So I was so thrilled to watch it, but it is interesting what a low level season it was. And I still liked it. I'm still impressed at how big the yacht was. I was like, this is huge. Like,
that yacht is huge.
The yacht was huge. I'm not used to seeing that big of a yacht. The bedrooms were bigger. I mean, it was great. It was just interesting that this was the season finale. Like, it was like, it's all leading up to this. Plates.
Again, lack of silverware. Dawn.
But you just keep imagining, like, that's what I kept doing. Like, when I would get sometimes checked out of episodes, I would imagine other Bravo characters in the yacht. Like, oh my God, if Jax could be here, or if Kyle Cook could be here. Like, I just kept putting, like, if Heather Gay could be here, and like trying to complain about things. Like, which, by the way, I think Salt Lake City, aren't they doing a Below Deck episode this season on their
season? Yeah, they're going to be doing Salt Lake. They're doing, I think, Below Deck regular coming up. I think they're doing. I think the regular Below Deck is going to be Daisy as Chief Stew, and who else is Chief Stew?
Wait, Gary's not coming back, right? Gary's done.
No, that's not sailing. This is going to be the regular. So they move Daisy over to. That's not true. Fraser is back for regular Below Deck, and then they got Daisy for. Another one, I guess. Would that be sailing, or is that the new Down Under? I don't know. I get them all confused.
I'm sure it's like 90 Day Fiance with the Below Deck universe, where I'm like, oh, I know. Well, it all, you know, there's a boat, but the preview for Below Deck next week, like the season preview, there would look like there's some like S&M and bondage, and everybody's kissing everybody, and there's bisexuals and heterosexuals and homosexuals.
Yeah,
and
Fraser actually gets to make out with people this season, which is nice. I mean, he's done it before, but it looks like there's some actual. By action on this one. I'm excited to see it.
We're going to see full penetration on the next season of Below Deck. Like, did I see Fraser enter a man last night? Like, this is really they're stepping it up.
But yeah, I know Fraser's going to come back with a lot of attitude, because he's got very strong highlights now. I just saw him on some commercial or something, and I was like, oh my God, those highlights are taking no prisoners this season.
Do you think once they get like the third and fourth season, they start thinking they're hot shit, and they do something like kind of like drastic with their look a little bit? Like, remember, like, this is a bad example. I always think about Vicki Gunvalson, that one time she got the facelift and it didn't settle before shooting. And, you know, she came up with that beach, and everybody was like, whoa, holy crap.
So I didn't do anything. What are you talking about? I didn't do anything. Can't move her neck. She's like, what?
And then, but the first episode of The Valley, Brittany was in like a head bandage, because you realize like they realized they were picked up, and they like, oh, I gotta get plastic surgery really quick. And it like, I love when they start filming before whatever they've done to prepare for the season is healed. Like, that's,
I feel
like,
for Brittany, you know, Brittany goes through a lot on that show, on those shows, all of the shows. And she's such an asshole a lot of the time. But I do, at the end of the day, feel you got nothing for nothing. Feel for Brittany, because like that time she got the waddle surgery. So she got like her waddle like lifted and then like put behind her. But then it also messed up part of her face. Like, she couldn't move part of her face. So the whole season, people are like, what the fuck is wrong with her face? She looks like trash. And I was like, this woman cannot win, man.
Yeah, like some characters in reality TV are just damned if they do, damned if they don't. Like, it does not matter what you do. And then usually what happens about 8 or 9 years in, if you're lucky enough or like unlucky enough to be on a show still, people will come around and then there'll be like this kind of underground following. You know, we saw that. I mean, I feel like Dodie's like that. Dodie is now considered like ethereal in a lot of ways. And I'm like, well, I remember a time when people were like railing against Dodie, and now she's considered she's like Paul Bunyan. Like, there's like a myth about Dodie. And like people are just like, she's an angel. She's an angel. Everything she says, she's angelic.
Watching that transformation has been crazy. Like, watching that has been nuts. Like, she had a really good first season on the show, I thought. I thought she did a good job of kind of balancing the apology for what, you know, like re-entering. I thought she did a pretty nice job. This season, she's not really doing that much so far at all. And the audience loves that. Like, the audience will really, as long as there's other stuff going on the show, you can really do nothing in a season and the audience will love you.
Dodie literally was sitting, like, she just says, yeah, I'm taking Xanax because I don't like people arguing. Like, just really like a thrown away line. She'll be like, yeah, we don't really have to do that. I'm just trying to get my drink on right now. Like, she reminds me of what I read 70s Los Angeles was like. Like Joan Didion and all of these, like, really, like, like vicious circle type, like, she just kind of reminds me from a different era where she was just like, remember when people could drink during pregnancy? Like, I go back to those times.
Yeah, where are those days? Yeah, well, kind of the downer times before the Coke times, I think. Because the newer generation of TV is all like jacked out and everyone's like, and their fights are like Coke rages, you know, Coke alcohol binge rages. Ow, what am I stuck on? Ow, I'm stuck on my own beard. I'm so sorry. And
that's a plug, by the way, if for anybody not watching this, Ronnie's beard is magnificent. I mean, like,
beard.
Well, I mean, I'd say, what do we call it? Like stubble? Is that what it is? It's like a, I mean, it's really
nice. I don't know what I would call it. It's called laziness. I shave once every couple of weeks, but this week I was like, I'm tired.
Listen, Paige DeSorbo wouldn't like you because she said she doesn't go for a man with a beard in this week's episode. But other than that, I say keep doing
Paige
this.
Paige DeSorbo wouldn't like me anyway. Okay. She wouldn't like me clean shaven.
Did you take a stand in the great battle of the decade? Team Craig or Team Paige?
Oh, Team Paige. Team Paige.
Yeah, 100%. Team Paige, obviously, right?
Craig sucks. Like, yeah, Craig.
I mean, okay, I just didn't know where you stood. I didn't know that. Yeah. But I think...
Are you too? You're Team Paige, too?
Oh, yeah, of course. Like, I don't dislike Craig, but, like, obviously Team Paige. Like, I love
Craig for Southern Charm, but he's been compulsively lying and shit for years. I could never understand what she was doing with Craig.
I do get frustrated with Bravo at the reunions of like, yeah, we now have it well documented about Craig lying in so many situations. And they kind of did it on Watch What Happens Live when he was on. But they really do need to do a clip package at a reunion where they hold Craig's eyeballs open and make him watch every lie. And like, just be like, it's okay, man. Like, we all do it. It's okay. Like, just say why. I know it's a deep insecurity. I know you're probably not a bad person deep down. Like, just admit it.
He still lies, though. Like, this last time they showed him a clip of him lying, saying he never lied again, and they're openly laughing at him on Watch What Happens. He's like, well, that's not exactly what was said, you know, and it's just how you guys took it at the moment. And I loved the reveal on Summer House when we finally learned the truth, because, you know, Craig got to tell his side so much earlier than Summer House ended. So by the time Summer House came, he told everybody, oh, I bought this ring for Paige, and then she dumped me, and she knew I had this ring, and we all knew that was a lie.
Paige had his number immediately. Like, this is exactly why, because he didn't buy the ring. By the way, we talked about Angeline earlier. That's what Craig, in 15 years, you'll pay him $150 to drive around in his car with him, and he'll lie to you for $150.
Yeah, just tell me lies. One thing I forgot to bring up on Crappy Hour, so I'm glad I have you here, is... this Craig thing. So in the preview for Summer House, we saw Paige saying, and I found out he was texting bitches. What was that about? Have you heard anything about that?
So she expanded on that a little bit, just saying that she saw him like put like heart emojis on like two DMs. And she said, listen, it couldn't be anything, but he was weird about it. And he did do that. Like, not just like hearting a thing, you know, how you do on Instagram, but like heart emojis. And she just said it was like just weird behavior, and it was weird behavior, and he acted weird about it. But she said, you know, there was no proof. I am wondering why they cut that out, but they used it in the mid-season trailer. And I just thought maybe it wasn't the story that they want. I think they wanted to tell the story of three girls, like not realizing, you know, not knowing that they would be at this place, but loving their life, because like you guys probably already talked about this too. It's like they're telling us this is a spinoff, period. So I don't think they wanted that little clip in there, because we would just be running with that instead of what the narrative has been this week of, we need to see this spinoff. These girls are in a spinoff and it's about womanhood, you know?
Yeah, they're really selling that hard now. They're going around all their interviews. Like Amanda's like, well, you know, people have to graduate from the show. So I'm guessing that's, I mean, obviously that's what they're trying to do, right? They're going to put out a season of them in the city.
I 100%. And I think it'll be great. I would love them to film the conversation where Kyle begs Amanda to be able to keep going to the summer house. Like, I want to be Van Wilder. Like, there's no graduation here. I will be a seventh year senior. Like, I will chain myself to this summer house. Like, that dude will beg to stay at that summer house from Amanda. Well, Kyle from Bravo.
Still goes out and parties all night. I don't think it matters if he's in New York. He's still going to be coming at home at 4 a.m. Like, hey, Amanda.
Kyle, why are you waking me up?
I would be scared. Wouldn't you be scared for a season of Summer House with Kyle there by himself? Like, Amanda's like not there. Like, imagine
the Matthew McConaughey of the house.
And he's still tiptoeing into his bedroom, even though nobody's there. He's like, Amanda's not even there, dude.
I hope this city thing happens. I really want to see it. I think it's going to be so good.
Why not?
Who do you think they'll bring back?
I mean, keep Paige into the fold. I mean, do you think who's being brought back Paige to Summer House? Well,
Paige will do it. It'll definitely be Paige, Amanda, and Kyle, and Lindsay, and else was there?
For Summer House or the spinoff?
The spinoff.
See, I don't think the spinoff is going to include the guys. I think it's going to be girl-centric. I thought, so like, you'll know that Kyle obviously exists, but I thought, from what I was hearing, that it was going to be the girls. It was like a girl-centric show in the city.
Oh, so kind of their new New York, what they were trying to do with New York earlier, which is just like all influencers living in New York. And
exactly. Which, by the way, did you see Next Gen NYC yet?
No, I haven't watched it yet because I don't want to
have it, but I haven't watched it. I don't want to remember new names.
I'm not going to remember new names for a while. I think it looks so good. The trailer looks good.
Yeah. Like, I'll try anything. It's just hard to get me to initially sit down to watch because I have a tendency of, like, I don't want new things in my life. Like, it's hard to accept a new show. It's hard to, like, accept new characters. And, you know, like, it's not as intense because we already know Brooks Marks and we already know Candy's daughter and
but not like this. I mean, it's going to be – Brooks looks hilarious on the show. I think he's going to be really funny. Riley, I think, doesn't ever say anything. They never showed Riley saying anything.
No, Riley was DJing.
Yeah, and she threw her phone in the water on accident. so we saw that. And it looks like Gia – and it looks like the new people that they're bringing in are pretty good. They look pretty dramatic.
It's interesting. In the previews, I don't see Gia as much as I do, like, Brooks and the others.
I think those are just kind of they bring in the headliners, you know, to sell the show. But it looks like the other people are going to be taking over. Like, they've got that really
that girl
beautiful
that has
trans
like a million
model.
Followers.
Yeah, is that her?
I don't know. You said trans model. I didn't even know there was a trans model on the show.
Yeah,
that's
they've
awesome.
Got like a beautiful trans model. She's like the really gorgeous, glamorous model one. I think
they've
got a couple models,
I didn't realize
she's like
was
super
trans.
Glamorous.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and then they've got. Like, well, they're all young. I was going to say a young guy, but one of the young guys in it looks like a total douchebag. I think it's going to be really good.
I hope it's like a blend of like NYC Prep and Roni, you know?
Yeah. You know, I never watched NYC Prep.
Oh, right.
That's embarrassing. I've never confessed that before. I guess I should watch that.
You know, watch, but like, save that for you. Don't even talk about it on Crappens ever. Just watch it for your own enjoyment and like have that be something that you keep for yourself. Because to me, it's a very special show that like don't just keep a show for you. And I think NYC Prep would be great where you could have that, enjoy it, you know, and don't do anything around it. Just enjoy it.
Okay, perfect. I will. I'll take that advice. I'll save that till one day when I'm like in a hospital. And I think all is lost. I'll be like, I've saved this little nugget.
Yeah, Roddy's in a hospital and I bring him NYC prep, you know. Yeah, Roddy, if you can hear me, come out. We all miss you. I brought you the first season of NYC prep.
Come towards the Betamax.
Come towards the Betamax.
Ryan, thank you for being here. I love talking to you and love spending time with you. Everybody, go catch up with Ryan's podcast, It's So Bad It's Good, with Ryan Bailey. I'm sure you're all subscribed anyway. Go listen to him over on Jeff Lewis Live.
Yeah,
like, how often are you over there? You're over there, three times a week?
No, just once a week right now. And I love being there. And listeners, guys, thank you for listening. I hope this was okay. Be nice. Don't just be cool. I was looking forward to this all week. So
no, Ryan, I love talking to you. You've been such a good friend to this show and to us personally for so long. And it's so good to have you here and talk to you. It's the only time I ever see any friends here. Like podcast friends is when
we got to get our Vespas out and get on the PCH and just ride.
Hell yeah.
Like easy rider.
I still got my other one. If you want to ride it, if you want to learn how to ride it, I've still got my old one over here.
Wouldn't that really trip out like a very small amount of the population of Los Angeles of like, did I just see Ronnie Karam, that weird guy, Ryan?
We'll get Julie Goldman. She's got one.
Oh my God. So we'll get Laura. We'll get Danny. What if we had a motorcycle crew, like a real, like a tough gang, and there's like initiations.
But like Vespas, like it has to be like a wussy motorcycle crew.
Oh yeah. Like the Larry Crown mobile, the Tom Hanks movie that really got me into Vespas. Yeah.
I can put Ben in a little sidecar because I know he'll never do the Vespa thing, but I'll put Ben in the sidecar, Tom.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like the Schwartz and Sandy sidecar isn't being used. Like, could you imagine if you did the Vespa version of the Schwartz and Sandy's mobile, the Tom Tom mobile?
Doesn't it sound like Ken's probably in that thing?
I can't believe it was in this.
How did I get here? I don't even remember coming here, darling.
My life force is in these dogs. Okay, help me.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much. Love you guys. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye, guys. Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
She can run my country. It's Angie McGovern.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto. Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no Trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie. She has no less namey.
She's our kind of mess. It's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
Bringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets a name from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson. Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
It's our queen, it's Queen Laifa.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Know your worth with Jason Kurth.
Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, Jennifer Corcoran.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She gets an A, it's Kelly B.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
We're on the floor with Molly Dorsett.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
It's always a good time when you're wasting time with Bravo.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.